Kenzo Tange is one of the leading representatives of the Japanese architecture of the 20th century. Thousands of architects today from Japan and elsewhere, some of whom are well-renowned in their own right, were either students of Kenzo Tange or were directly influenced by his style. He laid the foundations of modern Japanese architecture. Well, today his work and legacy are continued through the architectural practice of his son, Paul Noritaka Tange, who's been in Australia as the guest of the Japanese embassy. So we've invited Paul into our By Design studios to talk about modern Japanese architecture and the principles on which it's built. Paul, welcome to By Design.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
People tend to think that there's a big divide between what's old and what's modern, but do you think that there are important qualities of modern architecture that can be found in traditional Japanese architecture?
Well, I think Japanese traditional architecture is rather close to modern architecture because I think the simplicity and then we are creating the space for the people, and that kind of simplicity is very well translated into a modern architecture. I think my father was one of the first Japanese architects to try to combine these two, modern architecture and the Japanese traditional architecture. Many of Japanese architects today are very much the outcome of traditional Japanese architect. I think because that sense of space and how we create inside, outside, and that's, you know, two spaces merge. Unlike maybe Western architecture where there's a wall and then there's inside and outside, I think Japanese architecture, we try to live with nature. Our traditional architecture especially is much more post and beam kind of structure, which is in a way earthquake proof because it's soft.
Yes.
And that was like something that it was born out of necessity because we had to live with nature. And that idea was carried through to modern architecture today.
As Tokyo continues to expand very, very rapidly, architecture becomes more international and homogeneous. Is Tokyo in danger of becoming a city without an Asian or without a Japanese flavor?
Well, this is a very good question because not only in Tokyo, but we have been, Tange Associates has been working in Asia in many different countries and cities, Sydney, Singapore, Hong Kong. Mm. Of course, technological advancement and globalization, all the information is everywhere. Therefore, all these buildings are built at the same time, and we are really losing the identity of our own culture.
What can you do about it? Because presumably in many cases your corporate clients will have an idea of what a big name prestige building looks like, and it may not look like anything very local.
Well, in our firm, and actually, this is the very important philosophy of Kenzo Tange's architecture. You know, the architecture cannot stand alone. And it has to stand in some city which has different historical, traditional background. We are no longer creating a building per se. We are creating a space. If the person feels comfortable to understand that, I think you have to understand that person's personal background, which related to that history of the city, etc., etc. So what we try to do is we try to take out that essence of the history or tradition or culture of that site, and we try to reinterpret that in a modern way.
On ABC Radio National, abc.net.au/rn, you're with By Design, and I'm talking to Paul Noritake Tange, a very distinguished architect in his own right and also son of the international celebrated architect Kenzo Tange. Paul, Robin Boyd, who was probably Australia's most influential architectural critic of the second half of the 20th century, said of your father's architecture that it was never obtrusive or self-conscious. Sometimes it even seemed anonymous. Now, this seems, doesn't it, a very different approach to that of some contemporary architects who set out to design landmark buildings that startle the viewers and have a wow factor.
Well, I wouldn't say that Kenzo Tange did not design a landmark building. He did. But what I can see is that this is Kenzo Tange's school of thought. Building cannot exist by itself. So it has a context. It has the fabric of the city. That's why we always, even for one small building, we make a huge model to see what will be appropriate for that particular site. So what we're trying to do is balancing between harmony and also landmark nature, if that location calls for landmark nature. Because my father was always thinking forward and using the technology of the highest quality with a Japanese tradition. And depending on the stages of different era, he has created different type of architecture. But one architectural philosophy, that is, building should inspire people who's going to use that building.
In early post-war Japanese architecture, one building in particular stood out, and that was the Peace Museum in Hiroshima. This is a long, narrow pavilion elevated above the ground on pillars. It was designed by your father, of course, Kenzo Tange, and it brought him to world attention. For him, it must have been an incredible responsibility to build a memorial to the victims of the bombing of Hiroshima, with all the emotion that accompanied the memory of that event.
Yes, not only this was the first built project for him when he was in the early 30s, but he grew up in Hiroshima himself when he was in high school time. So for him, it was second home, and he realized that one day the whole city has disappeared. And actually, after urban redevelopment law has passed to make Hiroshima as a peace memorial city, he volunteered to go there. And I still remember the time that he went. He always told me that it wasn't the sight which really amazed him, but it was the smell of burn. And after 1 year, he could still feel that devastation by smelling it, which is a very strong feeling. And then, of course, from that point on, he designed the Peace Memorial Park with collaboration with many people, inclusive of sculptor Isamu Noguchi, who was American-born Japanese, who my father asked to help create a cemetery, which is a memorial in the middle. And at the end, his idea was not used because he was American. But it was very meaningful for my father because it was not only Japanese, but everybody was devastated. Even the person who flew over Hiroshima to drop the bomb. Mm. So I think it was peace has to be for everybody. So he was very much attached to that project. And then, you know, I think I get excited by talking to you. Yes. So I can imagine my father's feeling, you know. But, you know, I think it was a very important project. And then that really opened his eyes towards peace. Until he passed away at age of 91, he always talked about that Peace Memorial Park.
Paul, before you go, you've had the opportunity while in Canberra to see our Parliament House. What impressions have you got of what you've seen of Australian architecture? And you don't have to be polite.
Okay, well, I'm very a-Japanese in that way. Well, I had a great pleasure of walking through Parliament House with the great architect, Professor Jergola himself. First time I went to Canberra, which was about 20 years ago, and that building was under construction, and I have never seen the finished building. I was very much touched by that building because 20 years ago, the architect was already thinking about the environmental issue because he made a building well integrated with earth. and the building itself is not really imposing. And he also described to me that, you know, how he thought through public access and that kind of idea was very much into our way of thinking, which is those parliament house or civic building is not for the government official, but for people.
Now, just before I let you go, I wonder if you could tell our listeners about your own home. Do you live in Tokyo?
I live in Tokyo.
And what sort of house do you have? Did you design it yourself?
Well, no.
Or did your
I
father?
Live in, I, it is our thing in our family, actually. Never to design our own home. My father designed one, and actually, he was not very happy because my mother and I can complain about it, but he couldn't. So he didn't think it was the right thing to do. So after that, he lived all his life in a condominium designed by somebody else so he can complain. And I am the same way. And actually, I did design one house in Gold Coast, Australia in the 80s. That was before my daughter was born. Unfortunately, after completion, I didn't use the house for 7 years because I had to go to the United States to show my kid to my in-laws. So the direction actually automatically went towards United States rather than Gold Coast. So I had to sell the house. But I had a great time designing the house. And then maybe it was for the best that I didn't live in it.
Well, the next time we have you on this program, perhaps we can hear some of your complaints about the condominium in which you live. Paul Noritaka Tange, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.